So it's amazing to be with you on this inaugural cruise and to be together. And as Torah Jews, of course, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, even a vacation, an evening of recreation, is defined by Torah. And I want to talk to you tonight. I don't know how much time we have until I'm no longer upright because the room is spinning and the boat is... everyone won't be upright for different reasons. No, I'm good. So the topic for tonight is a timely topic because of the period in which we find ourselves. And in fact, this week, most poignantly, we're going to observe Purim Katan this week. If you like Adar, you love two Adars. This year we have 2 months of Adar, and this week is Purim Katan. Most people know it because there's no Tachanun, and it's Osper Behesper Tainis. You're not allowed to fast, you don't offer eulogies. If it falls on Shabbos, no Avarachim, and so on. But there's more significance to Purim Katan. Purim Katan is a day the Ramah writes, the fact, the very last halach in all of Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes that a person should have a little bit to eat, a little bit to drink, to observe Purim Katan, because it's wonderful, Mishteh Tomid, a person should always gladden their heart and enjoy a festive meal, Tomid, all the time. It's not my topic for tonight, but it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch both begins and ends with the very same word. It's a word which is practiced as a korban. We read about it in last week's parsha. We'll talk about it in Siddur snippets tomorrow night or the next night. And that is Tamid. The very last halach in Shulchan Aruch is the Ramah telling us that it's very good to always be joyous, always be glad. So Purim Katan also, have a meal, have a l'chaim. That's the last halach in Shulchan Aruch. The very first halach in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says a person should always have in their mind's eye, a person should always walk around with the pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence, a mindfulness of our responsibility, our accountability to the Almighty, should be before our eyes always. A Jew lives bound by the two bookends of Tamid, consistency and constancy. That's the Korban Tamid of last week's parsha. Everyone knows the famous Medrash, which may or may not exist. It's brought in the introduction to the Ein Yaakov, but doesn't actually appear in any of our Midrashim, that tell us about the rabbinic conference, Ben Zomer, Bekiva, the others, they got together in order to try to vote, define which is the most significant pasuk, which pasuk best summarizes the motto, the bumper sticker of the Jewish people. Is it Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? The unity of God's existence? What a statement of theology, of philosophy, what an affirmation of our belief system. Is it V'yahavta L'reicha Kamocha? That you can reduce the totality of Torah to mold us and shape us to be good people, kind people, to love our fellow people. And all of a sudden, the third opinion was, we bring one sacrifice in the morning and one in the evening. And they took a vote. Mestama, the meeting was at the Homowak. They took a vote. There had been a conference, had Chinese food. And what was the conclusion? Which pasuk did they vote on? The one that would be the least likely, not only for us to vote on, it'd be the least likely that any of us would nominate. We took a poll of everybody in this room, everyone on this cruise ship, and we said, what pasuk would you suggest best summarizes our mission, our purpose, why we're here, who we are, what life is about, how to be the best version of ourselves? Shema and V'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha, we'd each get several nominations and we'd get lots of votes. But the Korban Tamid is Akeva Sechad, last week's Parsha, this is not my topic at all. How do we get on this? It would get no votes. And yet, it was the one that was accepted because it represents the notion of consistency, of constancy. It's who we are, it's what life is about, and it is our topic for tonight because our topic is happiness. And now I got on to Purim Katan. This week is Purim Katan. And we have two Purims. Purim Katan, a miniature Purim, and the big, gewaldic, amazing, exciting, awesome Purim, which will come in a month. Two Purims. Both months are characterized by happiness. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. When the month of Adar enters, we increase, we promote, we dwell on our sense of joy. And my question for you, our question for tonight is a very, very simple one. Can I be happy just because my calendar tells me to be? The last day of Shvat, I'm miserable, I'm unhappy, I'm fabisana, I'm resentful, I'm a typical Jewish person, unfortunately, sadly. See everything wrong, not everything right. See what's missing, not what I have. and people legitimately going through hard times and struggles and suffering, legitimately. So the last day of Shvat, you're sad, you're struggling, you're going through hardship, and you open your Outlook calendar. You look in your Google calendar, you look on your Maizmanim, you look in your Siddur app, you look in the funeral home's Jewish calendar, and what does it say? Rosh Chodesh Adar. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Oh, that's okay. Don't worry, be happy. How does that happen? How do we transform ourselves from sadness or struggle to joy and happiness just because there's an alert on our calendar telling us it's the month of Adar, be happy? How does that happen? What is happiness that it can be turned on and turned off? Because the Mishnah tells us both sides. B'shenichnas Av mematin b'simcha. When the month of Av comes, we diminish our simcha. When the month of Adar comes, marbin b'simcha. You'll note, the Mishnah, our rabbis did not say that in the month of Av, don't be happy, be sad, and in Adar, be happy. They talk about Rav Schwab, Zatzal, describes happiness like a pilot light. It gets lowered and it gets raised, but it always has to be burning inside us. The moment you lose your happiness, extinguish the light of joy in your life, you're not living. To be alive, you have to have the capacity to be happy. For joy, it's a pilot light which is raised and which is lowered. It can never fully be extinguished, so it's marben and mematin. And it's interesting, we're not going to answer it, but I'll pose it to you to think about. The Mishnah gives both sides of the coin, Av and Adar, but only one makes it in Shulchan Aruch. Av is codified in Shulchan Aruch, that we diminish our simcha. How do we diminish our simcha in the month of Av? The 9 days. Mishenichlas Av, Rosh Chodesh Av. No laundry, no meat, no wine, no showering, no live music, no social gatherings. We have very, very real ways in which we diminish our joy. The inverse is not recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and there are no practical specific ways in which we promote and which we increase. We're just supposed to be happier. So how is it that we can be happier? And this is very, very important. It's not limited to Adar. Adar is just like feeling freedom and liberty is not limited to Nisan, and realizing that Hashem holds us accountable is not limited to Tishrei, and seeing the miracles in our life is not limited to Kislev. None of the holidays are limited to that month, but that month we place an emphasis, so it reveals to us and we learn and grow and draw from it the entire year. In fact, I'll tell you an incredible Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer in his drasha says the following. A little boy becomes bar mitzvah, a little girl becomes bat mitzvah. What is the very first mitzvah they accomplish? Surely some of you remember when you were bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. It was just a couple years ago. What was the first mitzvah that you did? What was the first mitzvah that was incumbent on you? Believe it or not, there's a big discussion among rabbis. What is the first mitzvah on someone? They wake up that day. First of all, when do you become bar or bat mitzvah? Does it depend on, is it based on the calendar? The moment the clock strikes, Shkia or Tzeis, bringing in that Hebrew date, you're bar bat mitzvah. Is it that evening? Is it the morning? Or maybe it's Meis Leis. Maybe you have to find out when you were born. If you were born at 2:32 in the afternoon, 13 years later, 2:32 in the afternoon. Discussion two. We paskin your bar mitzvah the evening that ushers in the Hebrew date of your birthday, you become bar mitzvah. So you've ushered in the Hebrew date, the sun sets, 3 stars are visible, you're a man. You're a woman. What's your first mitzvah as a gadol? What's your first mitzvah as a Jewish adult? Krishma. Obligated in mitzvahs. So some suggest your first mitzvah is Krishma. Others suggest for a boy his first mitzvah the next morning he'll put on tefillin. Others suggest the first mitzvah is Emunah. The sun sets, 3 stars come out, and you say, I believe in Hashem, I have Emunah, that's the first mitzvah. I'm going to go on a tangent from a tangent, so bear with me. Rav Chana Wasserman in Kobetz Shirim Sin, Kobetz Mamarim says the following. It's an incredible piece. I think we learned it in the Emunah Shir a few years ago. We're coming up on the 100th Emunah Shir, Mirtz Hashem, in a couple weeks. So we learned this piece by Rav Chana. Rav Chana says the following. He says, Aristotle struggled with evidence or proof of God's existence. But this little Shmendrick boy turns 13, and he's supposed to believe that God's here? This little girl turns 12. She's still in pigtails, ponytails. And she has an obligation to know that God exists? How could it be? How can we hold these little children accountable for the mitzvah of the emunah and bitachon, for belief and faith in God, something that people three times their age still struggle with? You know what Rabbi Chanan answers? He says something incredible. I love this answer. It's everything about Jewish parenting. Says Rabbi Chanan, you know, every little child knows that there's God. If you raise the child right, and you talk about Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere, you show enough Uncle Meshi, from when they're little youngs, you make brachas out loud, you talk about Hashem, you say Shema while they're falling asleep, you wash their hands when they wake up in the morning. Every one-year-old knows there's a Hashem. They love Hashem, they feel Hashem, they know there's Hashem. What happens? We mess it up. We confuse children. We expose them to ideas and images and people and things that complicate, that cloud their judgment. Says Rabbi Chanan, the mitzvah of emunah for a child, you're right. If you thought you had to first start teaching to believe in God at 12 or 13, how could you hold this child accountable? But you're not supposed to first start to teach them at 12 or 13. Your job is to allow it to continue to grow and to blossom from when they were 1 and 2, and don't mess it up. Don't get in the way. So many of us who began young believing in God, we got older, we thought more sophisticated, wiser, exposed to the world, it complicated matters, and now we're confused whether he's here or not. Our mission and goal is to take what they know when they're young and just to reinforce it. Not to mess it up, not to confuse them, not to confuse them at all. So, different opinions. Bar bat mitzvah, what's the first mitzvah? Is it Shema? Is it Emunah? Listen to what the Chassam Sofer says. Chassam Sofer writes, I'll send anyone who wants to see the Makor inside, the source inside. Chassam Sofer of Moshe Sofer of Pressburg says, you know the very first mitzvah a boy or a girl bar bat mitzvah do? Their very first mitzvah is to smile, is to be happy. The very first mitzvah is to smile and be happy. Nobody probably told Bar and Bat Mitzvah children that. Maybe you should give a present, right? This when the sun sets, give a gift. You get the smile, the biyotze, the mitzvah. So being happy is not just a mitzvah in Adar, it's not just a mitzvah of Purim. It's a mitzvah every day of our lives. It's a mitzvah all the time. It is, according to the Chassam Sofer, the very first mitzvah a Bar and Bat Mitzvah child will fulfill. So how are we happy? In fact, when we're unhappy, God is unhappy with us. One cannot be fulfilling the will of the Almighty if you're sad, you're somber, you're depressed. You have to be happy. You have to be joyous. You have to feel the geschmack, the enthusiasm, the energy for life. In the Tochacha and Parshas Kisavo, Hashem says, Tachas Hashem lo'avartas Hashem lo'akecha besimcha uvetuv levav. You know why this Tochacha is visited upon you? God says, you know why I react with such harshness? Because I gave you so much bracha. I gave you so much goodness. So much to be happy about. And you still choose to walk around so miserable, so fabisana, so bitter. We all know that in the relationships with our lives. If we're so incredibly good to our children, and we give them so much, but there's one thing they wish were different, one thing they wish they had, one thing they resent that we haven't given. And we say, you know, after everything I've given you, I've sacrificed for you, I've raised you with, and you don't smile, you can't be appreciative, you're not happy, I don't want to be around you, I don't want to give you any more, that's for sure. Not interested in continuing to shower blessing on people who struggle to see that blessing. So God says, you know what the Tochacha what stimulates, what the catalyst is of the Tochacha? Tachas asher lo'avartas Hashem Elokecha b'simcha u'b'tuv levav. I picked up recently, I was in Israel, I got to say for, you know, at the checkout counter. In America, at the checkout counter, they get you, they sucker you into buying candies. In Israel, at the checkout counter, they sucker you into buying Sfarim. So, Sefer called Bishvili Nivra Olam. It's a tiny little Sefer. It doesn't even tell you the author. It's perfect. You stick it in your talus bag, broken up into 30 days. You learn a little bit each day. Very, very interesting things. It's a Sefer for our generation. Generation of people who feel insecure, lack self-confidence, feel invisible, wonder why they're here, what they're worth, what the purpose of life is. And the whole little book is Bishvili Nivra Olam. Hashem believes in you, you should believe in you. You woke up and you're here today, you have something to fulfill, something to achieve, a difference, a contribution to make. That's the whole Sefer. So he's got a parak on Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. Serve Hashem with joy. Serve Hashem with joy. I'm not even going to read it to you. But he quotes, all right, I'll read you one little section. The whole Sefer is not original thoughts. Maybe that's why he doesn't give his name. He quotes Chassidus Sfarim, Maharals. He quotes from all over. So here he says, Hasimcha Mida Gedola, he's quoting the Maharal in Derech HaChaim Perek Vav. Hasimcha Mida Gedola, joy, happiness, is the foundational, fundamental Mida. Whatever other Mida, whatever the character trait you're going to talk about, anger, patience, envy, jealousy, contentment, fulfillment, there's so many character traits that we have to work on. But if we're not fundamentally happy, then we're not going to be able to work or make progress in any of the other character traits. Kasher ha'adam u'b'simchu b'shleimas. V'yedeza mekabal ha'torah she'ishleimas ha'adam. V'kasher ha'adam b'tza'ar azhu b'chisaron. Ein mekabal ha'torah she'ishleimas ha'adam. Torah is complete, it's whole. It completes us. A person who's happy is a kli, is a vessel to be completed, can receive Torah. If you're unhappy, if you're negative and you're bitter and you're resentful and you're angry and everything is negative and toxic, then it's like oil and water. You're not a vessel that can receive Torah. It doesn't mix. The foundation, in order to be able to receive Torah, has to be a foundation of simcha, of joy, of happiness. Klal ha'davar. Ein roi la'adam shleimas ha'eloki hazeh ha'torah, ki ma'idei simcha shishleimas nafshi. The only way to be a vessel to receive Torah is to be happy. It's to be happy. So I want to suggest to you, all that was by way of introduction. I know there's more dessert. I'm blocking you. I'm not going to speak that long. And if I keep speaking and you want to go to the casino, go to the casino, Booker Tom Sinagog gets 10% of your winnings. So I want to just tell you a few things. I was going to tell you three definitions, attitudes, approaches, how we can have simcha. First of all, who's not besimcha? On vacation, you're empty nesters. Yecheved and I are fraudulent, counterfeit, fakers. But for the next 24 hours, we're empty nesters. There's no connection. They can't get a hold of us. Baruch Hashem. Ignorance is bliss. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. That's simcha. That's definition number one. We'll start with 1A. So we'll go to 1A. And this need for simcha, which maybe we so take for granted, and when we talk about it, it sounds so obvious. Be happy. If you're not happy, nobody wants to be around you. People don't want to be around negative people, toxic people, people who bring us down, people who suck the air out of the room and out of our lives. You want to be around happy people, uplifting people, people who compliment and who share positivity. We spoke about this past Shabbos. Hashem himself teaches Moshe. If you compliment, if you're positive, you bring the best out of people. We know that. We know that antidepressant sales are at an all-time high. Anxiety is at an all-time high. With all the progress, and with all the technological advance, and with all the ease of washing machines and laundry machines and computers and cell phones and voice command, I can tell my car to come pick me up, and I can tell Alexa to make the kugel, and I can do anything. It's easier than ever to be alive. You go to the supermarket, there's 4,000 salad dressings to choose from. It's easier than ever. And we got fantastic news that Entenmann's going to stay kosher. But it cost us Uggs. So Uggs have shatnez. I don't know if anyone heard that update. It's big problems, apparently. Baruch Hashem in Florida. Another reason to move to Florida. No state income tax, and no reason to wear Uggs. Nobody knows what Uggs are here? Apparently there's a big shiloh of shatnez with Uggs. So we know that there's an increase, there's an enormous spike in the struggle that people are having in all of these different areas. So what's the key to happiness? The keys to happiness are three. Key number one, happiness is not an emotion. Happiness is not an emotion. People make a mistake of thinking happiness is an emotion. Emotions are things I can't control. They're outside, they're beyond my control. If I feel happy, I'll feel happy. And if I feel sad, I'm sad. But happiness is not an emotion. That's a mistake. It's wrong. Happiness is not an emotion. What is it? Happiness is a decision. It is a decision that we make. It is a determination that we make. It's who we want to be and how we want others to perceive us. It's not an emotion that we have to wait to have happen to us. It's not something that we should or could blame. If only this happened, I would be happy. If this person acted this way and that person treated me this way and I won the lottery and if only then I'd be happy. No. Happiness is not an emotion that's brought to you by things outside yourself. Happiness is a decision. It's a determination. It's a state of mind. It's a frame of being. It's a choice that we make. Pasuk says, "Uvoka al abracha zeila v'isigucha," which literally translates as the beginning of Kisavo also. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. What does it mean, v'isigucha? Uva alacha kol abracha zeila. All these brachas will come, v'isigucha. What does it mean, v'isigucha? It's an extraneous, it's a redundant word. What does it add, v'isigucha? What does it add? Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin provides an answer. He says, you know what v'hisigucha, like a hasaga, means? It means Hashem says, not only will you have all these brachas, but v'hisigucha, a hasaga, you're going to recognize and see them and feel them. You see, there's two stages, there's two levels to all the brachas in our life. There's to have the bracha, that's stage number one. But Ahazar, even more importantly than having the bracha, is having the frame of mind, the state of being, to see the bracha, to appreciate the bracha, to acknowledge the bracha, to receive the bracha, to live the bracha, to live the bracha. Tragically and sadly, most of us only first begin to appreciate it when? When it's gone. When it's gone. Health, my father-in-law told me an expression. What was it? Good health is a crown worn by the sick that only the healthy can see. Something like that. I messed it up. How does it go? The bottom line is, if you have your health, you wake up in the morning and we have this expectation. I'm entitled to see. So I don't appreciate the gift of sight. I'm entitled to be able to eat and digest my food and eliminate it. I don't appreciate going to the bathroom. I should be entitled to walk, to stand, to go. Only chalila, those things are lost. Person has a detached retina, macular degeneration, needs to get cataract surgery, they're struggling to see, to read. Only then do they begin to appreciate what a bracha, pokeach ivrim, to wake up in the morning. A couple years ago, I tore my Achilles, I needed surgery, 6 months of rehab, I was on a knee scooter. I understood what it meant to make it from one side of the room to the other and carry your own cup of coffee. How do you take a shower? How do you stand? How do you make it somewhere? I was on a knee scooter, falling off of it every 5 minutes. Because I wasn't patient to go slowly. It was a disaster. But believe me, I made the bracha. I made it, and until this day, make it totally different as a result. When we lose the good things in our lives, that's when we begin to appreciate them. Why should it have to take that? Says Rav Zevin, means not only will we have the bracha, a roof over our head, a car to drive, food for our mouths, basic, decent, good health. Does that mean that we don't suffer or struggle and we're not in pain from the challenges? People in this room have gone through terrible, terrible diagnoses, illness, treatment, experienced losses that are unimaginable. Unimaginable. And our hearts go out. And I won't suggest we feel your pain. The pain, nobody can say they feel your pain. But it doesn't mean that in those moments you have to be happy. And a person shouldn't feel guilty for struggling or suffering or feeling that pain, but it means in the overall picture, the capacity to segregate, to sit, to cry, to feel pain, but then to go back to the default. The default is happiness. The default is a choice of joy in life. Our greatest role models for this are the survivors of the Holocaust, who lost everything, whatever anyone's lost since, all combined, doesn't touch what they lost, each one of them, their story. And when you ask, how did you find the resiliency, the resolve, the endurance, the perseverance to come, to rebuild, to start a new family, to start a life? Say, it was a choice. I made the choice to be happy. I made the choice to rebuild. I made the choice. Happiness is a choice. Hisigucha. To choose to be masig, to see, to feel, to accept. Don't wait for the emotion. Wake up every day, not waiting for the emotion, but making the choice. Making the choice. Because there's two choices that we have in life. Happiness can either result from what you have, or happiness can be what you don't have. If your source of happiness is always something that you don't have, if only I had that car, if only I had that spouse, if only I lost that weight, if only my children behaved that way, if only I got that job, if only... If happiness is from something you don't have, then you'll never ever be happy. Because there's always more to have. But if happiness comes from something you do have, then you can always be happy no matter what's going on in life. Because so long as you have air in your lungs and you're breathing, there's something you have. So is happiness going to come from what we don't have? You'll never ever be happy. Or is happiness going to come from what we have already, but we're going to recognize it and feel it and accept it and celebrate it. And then we can always be happy. Happiness is not an emotion. It is a decision. Sameach, simcha, is sammoach. It's where we place our brain. It's what we choose to think about. It's how we focus. Will we be guilty of the missing tile syndrome? Research that shows people, they look at a ceiling filled with tiles. There's one tile missing. A wall with tiles and one tile missing. So naturally, the research shows people's eyes are drawn to the missing tile. It's called the missing tile syndrome. You don't see the tapestry, the mosaic. You don't see everything that's there. All you see is what's missing. But it's a choice that we make. Will we see what's there or will we be drawn to what's missing? Simcha, sam moach or sham moach, where our brain is, where we place our thoughts, what is the decision that we're making will make the biggest difference in our life. It makes the biggest difference in our life. It's a choice, an absolute choice that we make. Dr. Nicholas Christakis, a physician at Harvard Medical School, authored a study that concluded that happiness is in fact contagious. You know what it's similar to? What's going on across this room right now. You know that when one person yawns... Okay, Baruch Hashem, that brought you back. You know when one person yawns, this is not hokey pokey, this is real. One person yawns, yawning is contagious. It sets off a domino effect of people yawning. Not just because they're all listening to the same boring speaker late at night after a full meal, but there's some physiological interconnectivity that when a person yawns, it's contagious and other people yawn. Well, Christakis, Harvard Medical School, proved, do you know that if a person smiles, smiling is contagious like yawning. And when a person smiles, it causes other people to smile. Researchers analyzed information on the happiness of 4,739 people and their connections with several thousand others, including spouses, relatives, close friends, neighbors, coworkers. If a social contact is happy, it increases the likelihood of your happiness by 15%. He made a fascinating point. Another study showed that having an extra 5,000 increased a person's chances of becoming happier only by 2%. So hanging out with a happy friend is worth about $20,000. Hanging out with happy people will make you much happier than even gaining extra money. Happiness is not an emotion. Happiness is a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make. That's number one. Number two. Most people assume, and assume incorrectly, that happiness is the result of receiving. If you give to me, if I get, then I'm happy. Then I'm happy. But it's really the opposite. Happiness is not the result of getting. Happiness is the result of giving. And it comes from imitating the Ribbono Shalom, when we walk in the footsteps of the Almighty. God is not a taker, God's a giver. And we are godly and godlike. We emphasize the very best part of ourself. When not when we are takers, but when we are givers. But when we are givers. It is the greatest source of happiness to be a giver. It connects us. It makes us selfless. It has a purpose and a mission. Happiness doesn't come from receiving. You can get more and more and more, and it'll just leave you wanting more and more and feeling more and more empty. But when you give, when you provide others, that selflessness is the source of tremendous happiness. I'll tell you something amazing. With the increasing levels of anxiety and mental health issues and depression, people with clinical depression, chemical depression, who legitimately need medicine, need treatment. But one of the treatments that they're offering now is someone who's depressed, have them volunteer. One of the treatments for depression is that someone who's depressed goes to volunteer to give others. Not because it's a distraction from their own problems, but because when a person goes from being taking and receiving and having the sympathy and the care of others to being in a position where they're giving and fulfilling their purpose, their mission, touching the holiest part of themselves, it can't help but generate a sense of happiness and bring out a sense of happiness. There's an amazing Rambam based on this. That happiness is not focused on It's not the result of focus inward. It results from the deep satisfaction and the profound gratification of imitating the Ribbono Shelom God. In this month of Adar, Purim Katan, in a month we'll have Purim. At the end of Hilchos Megillah, the very end of Hilchos Purim, the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, if a person has limited funds, you have limited money, and you can either buy nicer Suda, you'll get a fancier bottle of wine, or you'll get a more impressive single malt scotch, or a nicer first cut corned beef, or roast, or skirt steak, if you could find it. You could spend the money on your own Suda. Or you could spend the money on more impressive themed Shalach Manos. You're going to compete with the neighborhood. This year you're going to have the most impressive one. Everyone's going to be talking about you. You're going to have a whole complicated themed Shalach Manos. Or what's the third option? You're going to spend it on?
Somebody else.
Matanos Lev Yonim. You're going to give it away. So the Rambam paskins, what should you do with it? What do you think? Not surprisingly, the Rambam says the third. Give it away. Matanos Lev Yonim. That's not surprising. You know what is surprising? The Rambam's reason. The Rambam writes, you know why you should give it away? Don't spend it on nicer meat or wine. Not even on ice cream or milchik, Purim Suda. Why should you give it away instead of spending it on Mishloach Manos? You know the Rambam says, because the month of Adar Purim is all about happiness, your happiness. And you know what's going to make you the happiest? Not a fancier bottle of wine, not a nicer cut of meat, not more impressive themed Shalach Manos. What will make you the happiest is giving to others. It's an amazing Rambam. Don't give to others because everyone deserves and they shouldn't be sad and everyone needs. Give to others selfishly. Because what's going to make you the happiest? Purim's about simcha. What's going to bring you the most simcha? Not taking, but giving. But giving. The second definition of happiness and how we can achieve happiness just because the calendar tells us to. Number one is by recognizing that happiness is not an emotion, it's a decision. The month of Adar comes, and our calendar reminds us we're making a decision to be happy. We're going to smile, we're going to make it contagious. Our face is a Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't belong to us. We have a responsibility to others not to be negative and toxic and fabisana and bitter and miserable, but to smile, to be cheerful, and to be happy, and to literally change the whole environment around us, number one. Number two, Adar comes and we decide, I'm not going to be a taker, I'm not just going to receive. I'm going to transform myself to be a giver. I'm going to provide. I'm going to realize my godly potential. I'm going to tap into the best part of myself. I'm not just going to take, I'm going to give. And number three, what is the simcha of Adar? The simcha of Adar is the highest. There's an expression that's used in the 12-step program, AA, NA, SAGA, and so on. And the expression that's used is let go and let God. You know where sadness comes from? You know where anxiety comes from? I don't mean clinical anxiety. That needs to be treated. It's no one's fault. It's chemical. It's genetic. I mean Jewish general anxiety. Do you know where anxiety comes from? Sadness, misery, depression, negativity. You know where it comes from? It comes from thinking we're in charge. We're in control. We can manipulate the world around us. So we're so worried. What's going to be if I don't like my room on the cruise and if the food is no good and if I get seasick and what will be with this? I signed up for the wrong excursion. I should have done that excursion. My friends are on this excursion. I should have stayed on the boat. We're so worried about everything, what will be, because we think we're in charge and we're in control and we can manipulate and we're responsible. And so we're so miserable with worry and fear and anxiety. We're paralyzed. We're debilitated. And we have to, following the 12-step program, we have to let go and let God. The greatest source of happiness is emunah and bitachon, is realizing there's a Hashem in our life. He has a plan. He has a plan. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. What we have is what we need. Why mishen nechnes Adar marbim b'simcha? Because what's Adar, says the Maorei Naim, the Chernobyl Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Nachum of Chernobyl. Adar is Aleph Dar, the Aluf Dar. Aleph, the one and only, Hashem Echad. God, Aleph Dar, Adar. God has Dira B'tachtonim. God is not just in the heavens, distant, removed from this world. Everything that happens comes from Hashem, is for a reason and a purpose, has meaning. It's what I need. It's what's right for me. All that God does is for my best. And when I can live my life and change my mindset to Adar, and not just to Adar, but Mishenichnas Adar. The Svarim say Mishenichnas Adar means not when I enter on the calendar of the month of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar means when Adar enters me. When I'm able to live my life. When I wake up in the morning, Adar, with Aleph Dar. That whatever happens, it's from Hashem. It's for a reason. I'm not going to lose my cool. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to take revenge. I'm not going to be impatient. Whatever happens, it's from Hashem. Mishenichnas Adar, Aleph Dar. When the Aleph Dar, when God dwells, Mishenichnas, in me. When I let Him into my life. When I let God, I can let go. I can stop worrying. I can stop being sad. I can stop being nervous. And I can start being happy. I can start feeling pleasure. Last week we had a fly into New York. We met with Rav Ephraim Waxman Shlita at his home, and he said the following amazing insight from the Meshech Chachma. I'm winding down. Most of you have already wound down, but I'm going to wind down. I'm winding down. This is like the speech before Kol Nidre. It's the hardest speech of the whole year. Everybody just stuffed their face and drank as much as they could and ran into shul. And they sit in front of you in a comatose, hyperglycemic state of shock late at night. You don't have to fast the next 24 hours. That's the good news. That's the good news. So Rav Chaim Waxman said the following based on the Meshech Chochma. He said, you know, we have ichus and kamus. We have quantity and we have quality. When the Mishnah says Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, Marbin is Milashin Ribuy. It means more. Does it mean more in quantity or does it mean more in quality? We make the mistake of thinking Mishenichnas Adar, when Adar comes, Marbin, we have to expand Simcha in quantity. Normally I only smile half a second every third day. In Adar, I'll smile once a day for 2 seconds. Marbin Besimcha. I'm going to expand quantitatively how much I'm happy. He says, that's not the pshat. Marbin ribui is not bekamus, it's beichus. It's in the quality, not the quantity. What does it mean, mishnechnas Adar marbin besimcha? It means when Adar comes, we elevate what gives us joy. Other months of the year, you know what gives me joy? I got a new lease on a car. I got a new bottle of wine. I had a great tennis match. I enjoyed a good schluff through the whole night. I made it, mamish, the whole night. Other months of the year, these petty little things, that's what gives me joy and happiness. Mishenichnas Adar marbin besimcha. I elevate. I challenge myself that what gives me simcha is more impressive, is higher, is greater, is better, not in quantity, but the quality of what it takes to give me simcha. Marbin, the riboy, is besimcha. Mishenichnas Adar. Mishenichnas Adar. We have the capacity for happiness if we only make the decision. That's where we're placing our thoughts, that's where we're placing our mind. Simcha, samoach, that's what we're going to think about. When making the decision, we're not waiting for the emotion. That we're going to transform ourselves to be givers instead of takers. And then we're going to let go, let God. I usually at this point tell my story about jumping out of an airplane. Everyone here heard my story about jumping out of an airplane? I was going to tell you a different story, but I'll tell you that story very quickly. I always wanted to jump out of a plane. I wanted to parachute out of a plane. And I only wanted to do it in Israel. It's the only place I felt safe jumping out of a plane was in Israel. Besides, if it doesn't work out, you're already mamash, you're right there. So Israel was the place. So several trips to Israel I tried to arrange, and it didn't work out. And several summers ago, we were there as a family. I want to tell you why I have an amazing wife. Why she's the best. If I didn't know it when I married her, I learned it that day. So I found a place, Chof HaBonim, near Haifa on the coast, to go skydiving. But I didn't tell Yecheved, because there's no way in her right mind she was going to let me do it. And so I said, you know what, let's spend the day with the kids in Zichron Yaakov. I have a great itinerary, we'll go up for the day. It's beautiful there, it'll be great. We start driving. I pull off the highway, Chof HaBonim. She says, what are we doing? I said, I have to make a quick pit stop. I got something I have to do. A quick pit stop, don't worry, we'll be back on the road. I could only keep that going for so long. She said, why are we stopping? Where are we going? What are we doing? So very nervous and scared. I said, I've always wanted to go skydiving. I arranged it. So this is why she is the coolest. Because you know what she said to me? that's not fair. Why do you get to go? I want to go skydiving too. So we left our several little children on the ground. And we went up in an airplane that if you weren't crazy enough to jump out of it, you were insane out of your mind to get into it. This little propeller plane that just zigzagged and went up till it got to 15,000 feet. And then it was your turn, sitting, and you scoop forward and your legs are dangling off the edge of the plane. And you look down, you know, 15,000 feet, you know when they say, start to think about putting your chair forward and lifting your tray table, and if anyone has any garbage, and you look down, you can't see anything, that's 15,000 feet. So your legs are dangling out, you're looking down, you're out of your mind. But before you can take it back, before you can think of it, you get a nudge, next thing you know, you're out of the plane. So I'll never forget, I was flying towards Mother Earth 100 miles an hour, and I think I was chewing on my spleen. It was, you can't feel anything, you're not enjoying the wind, your whole face, you're flying through the air, it's miserable. Miserable, you're regretting it, it's too late to regret it. You're flying, you see, it's crazy, you're not sure if you're gonna survive. And I wasn't enjoying one second of the experience flying towards Earth, miserable. And then all of a sudden I remembered. What do you think, I'm crazy? I jumped out of an airplane by myself. I was attached to this 6'3" tsanchan. It was a tandem jump. And I remembered there's somebody who's got my back who knows what he's doing. And the moment I remembered there's someone who's got my back who knows what he's doing, and I let go, I was able to enjoy the ride. He pulled the cord, Hashem, the chute opened, took off the goggles, glided down, he let me control it a little bit. Incredible. I rarely recommend sightseeing Israel from that. Most peaceful. Once the chute opened, it is the ultimate metaphor for, instead, I loved it. I did it a couple more times since then. It's the ultimate metaphor for let go and let God. All we have to do is remember there's someone who has our back who knows what they're doing, and we can enjoy the ride. We're going through a ride in life one way or another, and we don't know what this ride will bring. And we can either be chewing on our spleen and be anxious and be worried and go 100 miles an hour and not sure if we're going to survive, or we can choose to remember there's someone who has our back and let go and enjoy the ride. So I give us all a bracha. I was going to tell you a new story, but I'll save it for another time. I give us all a bracha that we should make the decision to finally be happy. We should become givers, not takers. And that Mishenichnas Adar, the Aleph Shadar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reside, Mishenichnas, he should enter into us, our lives, our perspective, our attitude, our daily lifestyle, our daily living. And that when we do, we can let go and let God. And Amir Tz Hashem will all enjoy the ride. Thank you.